Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, people of all ages, welcome to another edition of the Sideline Junkies Network. And this is a special day. You know what day it is, KG?
What day is it?
It is Thursday night. Throwdown. Yeah.
I live for that every week. I just want to let you know that. Good evening to everybody. Thank you for joining us. I've kind of called a meeting of the minds, if you will say, if you will call it. But let me get this out of the way. Let me get the preliminaries out of the way. This is the last Thursday of the year. So this is the last time you'll hear that beautiful introduction in 2023. And this is the last time you'll hear on a Thursday that if you're a whiskey drinker, a bourbon drinker, you're a sipper, www.buyfortmose.com. That's where you need to go. Use our discount code /discount/maniacs. Get you $10 off. And of course, get this good review going. Let us know how it is so we can let the masses know. Okay. Now, that's done. The preliminaries are done. See, we got Yeah, Keith, that's what it is. It's CPT, baby. It's CPT.
It's my fault, Keith. It's my fault.
And hey, Ross, glad y'all can join us because I need y'all to tell me. Y'all are the voices of reason. And it's the reason why I tagged y'all in this post. Okay. So this first segment. What are we doing here?
Oh God.
What are we doing here? This is a special segment because hear me out. Before y'all respond, hear me out. You already know where I'm going. The news came out, I want to say it had to be yesterday when the news came out. Ron dropped the news that Jacoby Brissett will start the rest of the way.
He just said Sunday.
Okay, Sunday, rest of the way. It don't matter. Here's what I got. Here's my problem. This is why I'm saying, hey, am I off my rocker? We're not fighting for the playoffs. Now, a year ago, we were fighting for the playoffs. Ron benched Heinicke for Wentz in a game that we needed to win. Wentz gave us no chance to win said game. We didn't make the playoffs. Okay? Here we are fighting for, huh?
Difference is you were paying Wentz $28 million. He was finally healthy. The upstairs called down and say, I want to see if my $28 million was well spent. Ron caved to it, played it. That's how we ended up where we were. I let you go again. I'm just being the voice of reason as you go along.
Okay. Here we are the following season. We're out of the playoffs mathematically. There's no way we can make the playoffs, right? We're fighting for draft position. And as of right now, I believe we're at the number 3 spot in the draft.
Right. But there's a possibility. There's 3, but there's possibly falling back to 4, even if you lose the last 2 and New England loses his last 2 based on strength of schedule.
Okay. So we're top 5. Now, if we win these 2 games, that'll put us at 6-11. We're already at 4-11. Need to finish 4-13 this season. Now, I'm not one for tanking, because my wife said anything you say, and when you say but, anything you said before it was bullshit. So I'm not one for tanking. However, in this special circumstance of this situation, we need to see what we have. I need to see how Sam responds and things like that. You put in Jacoby Brissett to start against San Francisco because – and it's not just Ron I'm aiming this at. I'm aiming this at the fan base, too, to talk about, oh, we should start a Jacoby in the first game of the season because we would have never been that. If Jacoby Brissett would have had a fucking market to be a starter, he wouldn't have came to Washington to be a backup behind a proverbial rookie. Stop with the fucking bullshit and the madness, okay? That's number one. Number two, why the fuck would we even start Jacoby Brissett against fucking San Francisco? I don't care if Sam gets his head kicked in. We need to lose this fucking game. You want draft
position. Wait. So you're willing to, so all year long, you've told me about Sam and how we need to nurture Sam and take care of Sam. And your boy has done nothing of the nurturing. He's done no nurturing at all. He's thrown him to the wolves. He's let him get hit 60 sacks. And all right, go ahead. I'm going to let you finish your point before.
Let me finish. And I don't agree with not being nurtured. I believe he has been nurtured. I believe he's had more nurturing than another quarterback that was here, who shall remain nameless. Rest in peace. But he's got more nurturing. He's learned a lot more. And you see the growth from game one to game now going into 15. You see the growth, but there are other glaring problems that he cannot cover up for. We don't have an offensive line. I don't give a fuck if you're Tom Brady back then. We don't have an O-line. But my point is, why make the quarterback switch now? And you know I love Ron. I would run through a brick wall for Ron. But right now I'm scratching my head like, yeah, bro, it's time for you to go. Our time has ended. Go to the office. Go to the ambassador side. I don't. But as far as being the man I need to have you there.
Stop keeping him in the building. He needs, you know how the cartoon where you see that red boot and you see the person flying, or you see Jazz flying out the door. That's what you need. It's no sticking around, no ambassador, no seat at the table. They lucky I ain't in charge, because we'd have trailers all through the park and I'd take a match to that bitch and burn that shit down. So that way we ain't got nothing resembling Redskin Park for the last 25 years. Told you, we coming in with ammonia and bleach, and we bringing in new carpets. We taking off the paint of walls. We doing everything different. If the toilet tissue was hanging over, we going to have it hanging under. We doing everything different.
This is why I asked everybody, am I off my rocker? Why start Jacoby Brissett over Sam Howell? Because like I said, if Jacoby Brissett was such a great starter, he wouldn't have a losing record as a starter. He would have had more of a market. And I'm not knocking Jacoby for anything. He got a Super Bowl ring, granted, but I'm not knocking him. But if he was this if he was this big bad starter that this fan base makes him out to be, because he came in, the offense moves so better with him. Imagine what we could have done if we would have benched Sam early in the season. We wouldn't have been this. We wouldn't have been that. You fucking delusional. Because if he was this big bad starter, he would have won in Indianapolis. He would have won in New England. He would have never left New England. He would have won in Cleveland. But he's not. He doesn't have a market to be a starter. He's a backup. They brought him in here to back up a proverbial rookie.
So you didn't hear his presser?
I don't care about his presser. I don't want to hear shit.
Well, if you heard his presser, he alluded to being told that there would be competition. Then when he got here, the kind of competition was non-existent. So that's part of the reason why he came here, because he thought he would have an opportunity to start. I just report the news.
I believe. Secondly,
go ahead.
I believe experience is the greatest teacher. Sam Howell's never going to get better if he doesn't get the experience. And him playing against San Francisco, who knows? He might go out there, he may lay an egg. He may go out there and he may play like gangbusters. Who knows? You don't know.
The man was just 6 of 21. For 56 yards. You talk about a progression. This dude has gotten progressively worse. He peaked at like week 8 or 9. In the last 3 to 4 weeks, he's looked like hot ass and garbage.
There's no
recourse right now, because you've proven your point. Your point that you need to prove this year was, do I invest in the quarterback or do I keep what I have?
We're investing in the quarterback. Yes, you say you can invest.
You have to.
Now, here's my thing. How many quarterbacks have had bad rookie seasons as starters?
Hey.
And still came back and got the job done and became Hall of Famers?
Dude, I'm sorry. Unless you got a flux capacitor and a DeLorean, We ain't building quarterbacks like that no more. So he has to go to the back of the line and hope he gets a chance. You draft the quarterback. It doesn't have to be in the top three. But you have to draft somebody in the first round so you get that fifth-year option. He has two things against him. He had a bad season, and he only has 2 years left on his deal. There's no need to pay him starter money or try to deal with a negotiation with him when you're not even sure what he is. You don't even know what you have. But you know you ain't got enough.
So, hold on. Let's get to these comments. Then y'all can tell me if I'm off my rock. I just think this is a dumb move.
I told you when he started.
Well, you told me before you even knew what I was going to say. I was trying to hold it under wraps.
Hey, what are we doing here?
Jacoby gives a better chance to win, but he's a perennial backup. Even with Jacoby, they're not beating San Francisco after the Ravens housed them. I agree with that, Ross. Ross also says, F. Ron, he doesn't need to be in the state. God damn. At least I'm trying to get a man a job.
He can go sell churros in San Antonio to them big women.
Scott says, is Garrett Gilbert available? No, I think he has a job. Duval Paul, he says, maybe Jacoby is just playing to keep Howell from getting hurt behind the horrible line. I mean, hell, it's kind of late for that. He's been getting murdered all season. But you've done nothing to go and try to solidify the line. You didn't say, well, let's switch this around and move this and try to find the right combination. You did nothing. You come out there, you give up a bunch of sacks, you put the same line out there next week. No, somebody has to sit down because you got guys on the fucking bench. Somebody got to sit.
Yeah, somebody does have to sit down. His name is Sam Howell. There's no need in letting this kid get his teeth kicked in. Like, let the kid figure it out. Ross is absolutely correct. He's lost right now. When you're in this spot, he's in the most can't-get-right moment of his career. He came out last week. And from what Logan Paulson and company said, he had a drop. He had two people fall down on routes. And that attributed to his interceptions and all that stuff. And then he just never recovered. He never recovered the rest of the game. The rest of the game, he looked like a JV quarterback playing varsity the first time. He had McKinley Tech and they playing DeMatha. And he's scrambling for his life. That's what it looked like.
You said something and it triggered something in my mind. You said
and I'm right.
No, you said there's no point in this kid getting kicked in the teeth. What's the difference between winners and losers?
What?
What's the difference between winners and losers?
1 point.
No. Difference between winners and losers? Who the hell gets back up after getting kicked in the teeth and gets back on the fucking horse?
Well, he needs to stay off the horse for a little while. Good God. Like, this is trauma. You're trying to traumatize this man. You're trying to put him in a catatonic state. You almost trying to Patrick Ramsey him. You're trying to David Carr him.
You kind of sort of describing Shane Falco to me, but I mean, it's okay though. It's okay.
Well, Shane Falco, only way reason he started is because everybody went on strike. So that's another thing. So unless we going on strike next year, Sam Howell need to stay where he is and be cool.
Keith says you're not off your rocker. He is a backup. Think he was lied to when he signed here about there being an opening competition. Yeah, I get that. I just don't think he should start this game. Raise your hand if you think new management and coaching staff will back a fifth-round QB they didn't select.
Preach, Scott. Preach.
I got another one over here. I said that's two against
who?
One.
Who?
Xavier.
He probably said, okay.
Ross says, how long before the Russ watch starts? You know the shit is going to be wild this offseason. Oh, the Russ watch has already started. I done seen a mock-up of him in a Commanders jersey already. Talking about, yeah, he's playing in D.C. next year. 6 years, $600 million. What?
You know what you do? You write that person's name down. There's a little box in the corner, wherever his name is, where it says status or whatever. You find a little circle thing with the line through it that says block, and you block him because there's no need for him to even talk sports with you ever again.
I said that 2 years ago. I was told I was a hater. And then Keith says, Ross Rutter, it's already started. Yeah, it has.
But here's the thing. It's just like a couple years ago when quarterbacks were being paraded around right before free agency. Every quarterback that was a soon-to-be free agent had Washington's name attached to him. That's A, for the story, and B, because we don't have – they know we don't have a quarterback starting for us.
True.
And right now, unfortunately, Sam Howell, he had his chance, and I told you this 3 weeks ago. This is the stretch where he either proves he gets to stay without competition or without somebody else getting drafted, or he's going to tell you, go draft somebody. And I don't know what language you speak. I can't translate because I don't speak all the languages. But in plain English, Sam told me, go draft somebody else. So that's what I'm going to do.
Now, here's the thing. The rumors, all the, I guess in the NFL, it's just a rumor mill. But, you know, I like to call it wrestling terms, the dirt sheets. It's, oh, they're going to draft Caleb Williams. It's Caleb Williams. It's Caleb Williams. Oh, they love Caleb Williams. They want Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams ain't showed me shit. Go on.
Who's they?
Washington.
Who is
not the front office. Ownership wants Caleb Williams. And here's my thing.
Hopefully you said that in this article. Because everything I saw, it said they. Like, who's they? This proverbial they.
Yeah.
Like, there's this they in the atmosphere that wants Caleb Williams. That they sounds like Jeremy Fowler got a call from him being Caleb Williams' agent and said, float this for me. And Jeremy Fowler, being a good soldier, floated that. Because there's nobody here, if they're doing this the right way, there's nobody here that's making a decision. Ownership can be infatuated with them all they want. I hope they got a little throw pillow for him and a soft spot in the stands for his mom to sit, so that way if he want to come cry in her arms, he can do it with a binky and everything else. All right?
Let me say this. Caleb Williams, pretty good guy.
And I'm being very facetious here.
I know.
So okay.
But I'll say this. I don't like USC quarterbacks. I never have. The last USC quarterback I had any trust in was Rodney Peete. I haven't had any trust in any other USC quarterback.
Hold up. Time out. Carson Palmer. All the USC quarterbacks.
Carson Palmer. Okay. I did like Carson Palmer.
Okay.
But it's like really few and far between because they never pan out. Carson Palmer, the only reason why Carson Palmer didn't win a championship, that knee injury. And then after that, it was Pittsburgh. And then when he went to Arizona, if him and Larry Fitzgerald would have hooked up in Arizona earlier, they might have did something. But USC quarterbacks don't really pan out in the pros.
Okay. I mean, I don't know what you want me to say to that because I don't subscribe. I mean, everybody has to be their own person. So yes, I get the easy, oh, I don't like USC quarterbacks, but I mean this guy from everything they're telling you, and again, this is the word I'm using, they're telling you is he's one of the best talents to come out. He's got a higher grade than some of the other guys that have ever come out. I told you my two sticking points about him from the beginning was A, he doesn't play on schedule. And NFL, you have to play on schedule. And he might be the perfect guy to help Sam Howell play next year because the way he plays, he might get hurt, him and Jaden Daniels, and you might have to see Sam Howell in week four. I'm sorry, the stuntman, Jaden Daniels, does not see a linebacker that he doesn't stand upright and take a hit from. It just doesn't happen. He doesn't know how to protect himself. He can't protect himself from Jaden Daniels. Arm talent is going to explode. This is going to be, and I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to say it every time we get a chance, we start talking draft. This is going to be one of the most explosive arm draft classes ever. I'm going to say it again. The most explosive arm draft classes ever.
Bigger than 83?
That dude that named Joe Milton, that's not even in the top 20 or 30, if he gets on the field and he throws a football, he's going to wow everybody.
So we're talking bigger than 83 because 83 has some strong arms in it.
Dude, I can't go back and look at the footage from the combine in 83. So I don't know what that looked like. But I'm telling you right now, these arms are going to be off the charts.
83 was like the greatest quarterback draft class. You don't have to go far.
You're not listening to what I'm saying, KG.
They were all strong arm quarterbacks.
This class is going to have some explosive arms. It's going to be one of the most explosive classes we've ever seen. And when I say we've seen, I'm talking about in the, I'll say it this way for you, in the visual combine era.
Okay.
All right. Because okay. I know you probably got a reel to rod somewhere, you know, in the back room, you know, you cranking it out, you know, Xavier and Dario pulling down the screen so you can watch it, the reel to reel. You know what I'm saying?
Don't, you got to hold it right. Don't get mad about iFilm study, man. We don't need all the Gidget gadgets you and Josh got.
Hey,
you know, y'all go forward and back. We gotta play it and rewind it back up and then go forward. Chill, man. Get to some of these comments real quick. Keith says a smart inexpensive QB decision. Washington should entertain Kirk. Kirk, I don't think Kirk's coming back here.
No, Kirk who? He said inexpensive.
You really think Kirk? You think Kirk really gonna command money after the last couple of seasons he's had?
Kirk was on an MVP pace this season. His Achilles messed him up. He would have had the Vikings winning, if not winning the division, they'd have been second place in that division.
Okay. Paul says, if Geno Smith can resurrect his career, who knows? I agree with that. I agree.
Well, I tell you what. Y'all two can wait outside the tomb of Sam Howell's QB career. I'm going to be moving on to some young quarterback that we draft and figure that out.
Scott says, one thing for certain, this will be the most interesting, entertaining, and important offseason in Washington's history. I agree with that, and I'm excited for the end of the season. I'm excited for Black Monday because I want to – look, y'all going to have to contain me because I'm going to be reporting on everybody that got fired. People ain't even get fired. I'm still reporting, hey, he fired too. Ross says, what do we think about Michael Penix Jr.? Big Penix energy.
He's been the top of the list the whole time. I think the key for him, and I think he's going to be one of these guys that's going to fall, because I think once he gets to the combine and they start looking at that knee, he's had a couple of knee surgeries. So I think his knee might be the problem for him long term. So okay. I can see him having a medical red flag for some teams.
And Keith says, new regime in Washington, he might.
Keith, not denying it, but you said inexpensive. And I don't think Kirk is going to be inexpensive. That's the only part I disagree with you on. I think it might be a smart move. But we're also talking about a 36-year-old quarterback. So how long are we playing this game for? So, and then depending on how much money you have, like even if you got $90 million and you're spending $40 on your QB, where are you filling these other holes at that you got? I mean, that does allow you to draft a left tackle at 3 or 4, but, you know, then you can't fill everything through free agency.
And that's my thing. If you're trying to build a line and you're talking about tackles, a left tackle in the top of the draft, you can't get a quarterback and a left tackle. Unless you pull off a draft day trade and you got two really good first-round picks.
So here's the notion I kicked around. The two guys that you like, one and two, gone. There's a gap between your number two and your three guy, and the left tackle falls in between that gap on your board. So you take the left tackle like you're supposed to. Now you have your 36 and 40 of picks. Let's just say that's where those picks end up. You take those two, and you have to probably add in a first somewhere, and maybe move back into the late end of the first round, and you draft your quarterback there. Now, maybe there's a place where you get a guy like a Michael Penix. You get if you like Bo Nix, I don't, but if you do, a Bo Nix. If Quinn Ewers comes out, that might be a place where Quinn Ewers gets taken. Trying to think of anybody else that – they talk about J.J. McCarthy, but I got to see a whole lot of tape on J.J. in order for me to believe that he's a first-rounder. I haven't seen it. But those are the type of guys that you pick in the late first round, almost kind of like your Dirk Carr version or your Lamar Jackson that you're taking a chance on to see if they can be your starter for the rest of the career. And now you got a left tackle, you got a quarterback, and depending on what capital you had to give up, you might have a second or you might not have a pick into the third round. And that's how it goes.
All right. Paul says, Kurt ain't coming back here to play behind a bottom tier line.
You're right.
Yeah, he'll stay hurt. Keith comes in, he says, doubt any other team will break the bank for him. Pittsburgh, maybe, but he can give you a two-year lesson for a QB that you draft. Washington would kill for half the kind of production he gave Minnesota. I mean, shoot, here's the thing, and I said this before Kirk left. I said, Kirk gave you 4K on a regular with middle-of-the-road receivers. He got more talent at receiver now than he ever had when he was here. I think he'd throw for 5,000 yards with these guys. All he needs is a line, but, I mean, it's all about money. I'm not trying to spend a lot of money on a guy that I'm only going to have for 2 years.
Here we go. KG negotiating. You pinching pennies.
That's why I always had money and I win championships. I got rings to prove it.
I know you made $36 million last year, but how about $14 million?
And the rest of that is incentive laden. Hit your numbers, you get it. Bonus money.
Okay.
When it comes down to the cap, bonus money is easy to get off the books.
Kirk going to look at you and give you the D-Generation X symbol and walk out the thing.
Hey, go. Be mediocre somewhere else. Somebody will take this. Ross says, I want everything.
Yeah, he's saying that. Be mediocre somewhere else.
It was just a dig. No. I wasn't serious. It was a dig.
No. Because I hear that. But then I hear people, like you say, oh, we should have started Jacoby. Jacoby would have still had you mediocre. The whole reason for the Sam Howell experiment was he's either going to be show you he's an elite quarterback and he deserves to be your starter for the rest of the time he's here, or it's going to bottom out and now you have to rebuild this up from the ground up. And I don't know what they want. Like, unfortunately, this team has to be like the character in, I don't know if it's mythology or whatever it is, but it's the Phoenix. We're burning ourselves down right now as we speak in order to reform and rebirth ourselves with a new front office, a new coach, and a new mantra and a new mindset.
So basically, we're going to be the Jean Grey of the NFL.
I mean, if you want to take it to the X-Men, sure. But that's it. It's more mythological than Jean Grey from X-Men, but okay.
Raw says, I want everything. New QB, coach, GM, player personnel, everything. Every damn thing new. I agree. Only person in the front office I'm worried about, honestly,
is Doug Williams.
That's all I'm worried about. That's the only person in the front office I'm worried about. Because in the reshuffle, I didn't like the way he got shuffled. I didn't like it. I still don't like it. Scott says the new management and coaching staff next year will have Sam Howell and the top QB from the draft. It's not a problem to have as long as the team solidifies the line. That's true. And Scott also says not a bad problem to have. Now, overall, the question was, am I off my rocker? Am I off my rocker?
Yes.
Because I would prefer to start Sam, let him get that game experience instead of going with Jacoby. Instead of going with Jacoby, let Sam get that game experience. Yes, he's going to get knocked around. Yes, I'm not saying get him hurt, but I'm saying he has to have that experience. You have to talk him through it. You can't. What are you saying? Okay, this is what you're saying. Let me show you. This is where film study and coaching come into play.
Yeah, but now when you ask him, what are you seeing? He is sitting there looking at you as if you're Bruce Willis and saying, I see that.
But here's the thing.
So you got to let him hey, dog, it's been real. Just sit down and let these two games go by. If Jacoby Brissett wins these two ball games, I tip my hat to him. Good stuff. I don't expect that to happen, but hey, any given Sunday, and anything is possible.
So those of you that are the Midnight Ride already voted, everybody that's watching, am I off my rocker? Because I want to lose these next two games because I don't want to give up the draft position.
You keep saying like lose, like Brissett is giving you this great amount of ability to win these ball games, like because you're playing him. you went from like a 2% chance winner to like an 85% chance to win. No, that's not what's happening here.
No, it's not. But I
does it give you a chance? Yes. Does it give you a pulse? Yes.
Now what if they come out and
like, Christmas? Yes, there's a chance.
Now what if they come out and this offense really moves and it rocks, it rolls, and they put up 35 points. They lose 38-35.
That's great. Because they lost.
Well, yeah.
All you need is 1 point to lose.
But see, here's the uproar that I don't want to deal with. I don't want to deal with that other side of the fan base that is so fucking delusional. Oh man, if we would have did this early in the season, we wouldn't be here. We'd be in the playoffs and this, that, and other. It's every whenever there's a shiny new toy.
You'd be 9-8 or 9-7 going into week 17. And for all the jokers that yell at me, yell out, oh, I'm tired of being mediocre. Guess what you're accepting? Mediocrity. I'm sorry.
I know, because you're right on that. Ross says, agree on Doug. See, Ross agrees with me. I knew he would. Everybody's worried about Doug. But it may take more of a mental toll on him. You're not off your rocker, but I don't think you can start him.
So he's saying you're off your rocker.
Oh, that's the polite way.
Yeah.
But
not off your rocker, but you're kind of like, yeah. Your butt's not completely in the seat.
Not crazy, but Ben's right, which is always crazy. But Sam doesn't need to play anymore this year unless it's a backup. All right. And then that was from Scott. Ross says, Jacoby isn't a guaranteed win with two tough opponents. Yeah, because we got Dallas and San Francisco. And I think Dallas going to try to bust our head wide the fuck open again. Well, we didn't spend the majority of the show on this, and I just had to get that off my chest because I'm upset. But when you have a community around you that lets you know, hey, you can be upset, but don't be ranting like a crazy man, because, you know, you got two guys on this show. And what happens when a smart man argues with a fool? From a distance, you can't tell which one's the fool and which one's the smart man. So I guess that's why Midnight Rider didn't really engage me tonight. So it's okay, though. It's all right, man.
I don't know what you're talking about, man.
I'll be your fool.
I just felt like you were trying to tell me the grass was blue. And I wasn't going to the Lion to figure this out. I let the people speak.
Ross says, I wonder if Derek Gore would get some run. I think the next two games, everybody will if they're healthy.
I mean, I think it's because you just put Rodriguez on IR.
Yep.
I don't think you bring – honestly, I think you let B-Rob go ahead and sail off in the sunset, and you just go with Gibson, Gore, and Patterson.
Yeah, with C-Rod and B-Rob hurt, yeah. That Ross – I'm sorry, Scott says, step away from the ledge, please. All is good here. Mark Sanchez is not the QB. At one point in time, he was.
He's part of the 36.
Yeah. And I think that was the game in Philly when
the 36.
Yeah.
You want to keep Sam Howell, but we've had 36 QBs
since. Do you see why I want to keep Sam Howell? We haven't had any continuity at quarterback since Kirk left. And then before Kirk, we hadn't had any continuity at quarterback longer than three seasons since Mark was here. And he left in 93. We're talking 30 years, man.
Exactly.
That's more than 36 quarterbacks in 30 years. That's more than a quarterback a season.
You're the guy you're talking about trying to keep.
Cultivate.
Let's go ahead and pin that, and let's get to this game real quick, because
we're going to play
this kickoff.
Before we do that, let me do this real quick. Because I got to do that. It's Thursday, and I got to do it right, because if I don't, it's going to be a problem. So, hey, it's the Arrive 5, ladies and gentlemen. We got a new set this week. Starting at number 5.
Number 5!
Back on the list because of a loss, but they show back up, back on the list at number 5. The Philadelphia Eagles. Showed some moxie, came back off a 3-game win streak, gutted out a win by the skin of their teeth, but they gutted it out. Had to take the Cowboys off because what the hell was Tony Pollard doing? Like, you cost that team the game. Dak's playing very well. Now I'm happy to see that. My wife was yelling at the TV in that Cowboys game. She was upset. She was really upset. I'll say that. Number four, dropped down in the rankings to number four are the San Francisco 49ers. Yes, you still have arrived. You just didn't look really good against the Ravens, which is okay because the Ravens are the top team in the NFL, so that's all right.
Number three.
NFC North division winning Detroit Lions. First time in 30 years. Last time Detroit won a playoff game was over 30 years ago, and they got to the NFC Championship game and got trounced 41-10. But we're not going to go there. Congratulations to them on that. Number two. The Miami Dolphins. They beat the Cowboys. They showed that they could gut out a win. Beautiful. I think, you know, I don't think they're pretenders. I think they're the real thing. They're the real deal. And number one, the Baltimore Ravens, a team that's up 295 from us about 20-25 minutes, depending on how you go and how fast you drive. They beat the San Francisco 49ers, who are also on this list. And I think the Ravens are for real. I think you have to start looking at Lamar Jackson as an MVP candidate for real and possibly giving him his second MVP. So just don't give him the cover of Madden next year. Don't give him the cover of Madden. Because I want him to have back-to-back MVP seasons and, you know, have great years and Baltimore thrives. I would love that. So that is the Ravens at number one, the Dolphins at number two, the Lions at three, the Niners at four, the Eagles at five. That is your Arrive Five for the last Thursday of 2023. Now, jump in here real quick before we get head on up out of here. The Jets versus Browns tonight. Joe Flacco facing his former team, the Jets. And the Browns are 7.5-point. Uh-oh, hit the wrong button. Sorry about that. No, we ain't time to wrap it up yet, B. The Browns are 7.5-point favorites, over under 34.5. Midnight Rider, take it away.
Since they're about to kick it off, I think the Browns win this. I think the Jets cover because they've been finicky and sticky the whole time. I think we hit the over, barely, but we hit the over. The Browns defense is playing some of the best ball. I think it's going to be tough sledding for Breece Hall. So if you have him tonight, I think you play him just because you got him early. And Cleveland's been susceptible to the run. But that's going to be a tough one. It's going to be a tough day for him at the office. On the other side, I think Joe Flacco was trying to reincarnate January Joe. He found him something. And Amari Cooper, he found something in David Njoku, and they just going on a magic carpet ride. And maybe Joe can do it again. Maybe Joe got some fairy dust left over from the run with the Ravens back in the day. Maybe he got some of that left in his back pocket. I don't know.
What's crazy is you said magic carpet ride, and instantly my mind went to, hey, Sabu! Hey, when you find that magic carpet, man, you don't need no gas or nothing. I'm sorry. But,
Amari Cooper's out.
Uh-uh. Ooh, that's no good.
Glad I didn't put that in the parlay.
As always, lines are brought to you by FanDuel, our official, unofficial line source for the sideline junkies. I think we're good. What do you say?
I think we're good.
So consensus is I'm off my rocker with this whole wash to command this thing.
Yep.
That's the consensus. So I need to find me a gift that says, where I'm off my rocker. So I'll make sure I post that. Secondly, the Arrive Five, if you didn't hear it, Ravens, Dolphins, Lions, Niners, Eagles. That is your Arrive Five for the final Thursday of 2023. And then the Midnight Rider, you're taking the Browns in this game?
Browns to win. Just to cover,
Browns to win. All right. And I'll take the Browns to win, Browns to cover, and I'll take the under. So give me the under. Now it's time to wrap that shit up, B. Ladies and gentlemen, we have, 3 days left in this year? We got Friday, Saturday, Sunday. 3 days left in this year. If you haven't already, make your New Year's resolution. Put it in effect today. Don't wait until the first. Put it in effect today. Because if you want to change something, man, you got to, it's like TV, old school. You got to get up, walk across the room, change it yourself. Don't wait till the first of the year. Change it now. So, I guess I got to get with the Midnight Rider offline, get with the boss BJ, find out what are we doing Sunday morning, because that is New Year's Eve. And maybe we'll just make that our end of the year show and do everything on New Year's Eve and then, you know, do Sunday Rise and call it a day. That way we can go out and get the chicken and macaroni salad and stuff for the to celebrate the New Year. What you say, bro? Okay. We can do that. So we'll try to do athlete of the year, man and woman athlete of the year. And Xavier checked in. He said he'll take the Browns with the over. That's because I'm glad I don't bet against him. Thank you, Ross. Thank you, Scott, Keith, Duval, Paul.
Thank Xavier. He commented.
I'm not thanking Xavier. I don't like that kid. Okay. I don't like that kid. And Ross say the black eyed peas. You putting a ham hock in them, Ross? Put a ham hock in them, man, black eyed peas and cornbread, some greens. Put a ham
hock in that shit.
Yeah, man, you got to. But now, see, you can also, if you still got if you got your ham from Christmas, put your ham bone in there. Oh, Ross said, of course. See, we always get you good. We always talk about food on this show, baby. And V. Williams says, Happy New Year. Good job. Thank you. And Happy New Year to you as well. We will be back on Sunday morning for the final show of 2023. Until then, that's the Midnight Rider. I'm the big guy, KG. Y'all know the motto. We don't do no overtime, y'all. We are out of here.